In seeking the Lord about what we should do, I'm impressed, I believe, to begin a new series. Is that okay? Not that we exhausted the old one, but and I believe, you know, this actually kind of picks up at the end of that one and continues in some ways. But go with me, if you would, to the 34th Psalm, Psalm 34. And we just prayed a prayer, so you believing with me?
Yes, sir.
Utterance is affected by the hearers. You know, Paul said, writing to some of the churches, he said, I would have gone into more, he said, but you weren't able to hear it. And he said, even now, you're still not able to hear it. So the ability to hear something affects the utterance of something coming out. So all of us have a part to play. It's not just the people's part. It's not just the minister's part. There is the minister. There is the hearer. Of course, there's the Holy Spirit. But it matters what the majority of the people in the service want to hear and are willing to hear. So what you want and what I want is what God wants.
Yes.
Would you agree with that?
Yes.
That's what we want, because that's going to be the best. We trust Him. We're calling this new series, The Fear of the Lord. The Fear of the Lord. Have you read in the Scriptures and seen that term before?
Yes.
Have you heard that term before? The fear of God. The fear of the Lord. Well, it's not an Old Testament term only. You'll find it in the New Testament multiple times. And besides that, the Old Testament's just as much the Word of God as the New Testament is. But I think there's a lack of understanding of what it even is. And certainly not enough understanding about why you should desire it and how to grow in it and the benefits of it and what it affects. And some of the things, I assure you, as we get into this, some of the things that your heart really cries out for are attached to this. They're connected. To develop in the fear of the Lord is to have more of some things your heart's hungry for. They're connected. So did you find Psalm 34? Psalm 34 and 1. It says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Within, you'd be one of them. You do that, you'll be one of them. One of them what? Some people call them religious nuts. But if you're praising the Lord all the time, His praise is continually in your mouth. You bless the Lord at all times. People who don't do it should be doing it, but they find it odd. Verse 2, my soul shall make her boast in the Lord. That's not bragging on you. It's bragging on what He did in your life. You're an eyewitness of that. So you know what you're talking about. And the humble, people that are thinking right and have a right heart, when they hear it, they'll be glad. Verse 3, oh, magnify the Lord with me. Now, this is part of what we're already talking about. Do what with the Lord?
Magnify.
Minimize?
Magnify.
No. Magnify. Magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name together. Can you make the Lord too big?
No.
Can you go beyond and go, well, no, no, you're just making him bigger than he is? No, no, we ain't got to how big he is yet. Huh? But magnifying the Lord is connected to the fear of the Lord. Exalting the Lord, exalting his name. That means you're making a big deal out of it. God is a big deal. Yes. He's a very, very big deal. Do you agree?
Yes.
He's the biggest.
Yes.
Big deal. Come on, say it out loud. Magnify,
magnify the Lord.
Exalt his name.
Make
a big thing. Big thing. Of his things. Verse 4. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and he delivered me from all my fears. Now what you're going to see is that even though he said, I got delivered from all my fears, then he starts talking about his fear of the Lord. Not the same thing. Not the same thing. And actually, the fear of the Lord developed in you will deliver you from fears of man, of the enemy, of the curse, of problems. It replaces and pushes out all the other fears. I sought the Lord. He heard me and delivered me from all my fears. Keep going. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. Other scripture says nobody ever trusted in him and was made ashamed. Amen. Keep going. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. Now notice verse 7. The angel of the Lord encamps round about who? Who? Those that fear him and delivers them. Now you can already see from this, the fear of the Lord is key to protection. It's key to being protected. The angel of the Lord encamps around everybody to protect. No, because does everybody fear the Lord? Now what we'll see in our study, for instance, there was one time Abraham came to a place. And as soon as he got there, he looked around and he said, there is no fear of God in this place. Sadly, that describes many places today.
Yeah.
Many places. And you can tell by the way people talk, by the things they do, the things they don't do, by the way they act, the way they shun and mock the things of God, they have no fear of God. And that will cause you to forfeit protection. Forfeit. The angel of the Lord encamps round about who? I'd like to hear you say me.
Me?
Why? Why? Because you are one who fears the Lord. Now, regardless of how much you understand what that is, it's Bible.
Amen.
Agree with it.
Yes.
And say, Lord, teach me.
Right.
And in fact, do it right now. Say, Lord,
I desire to understand this
and grow greatly in this.
Reveal to me.
Teach me
the fear of the
Lord. Hallelujah. It will impact and affect every area of your life in a wonderfully good way. The angel of the Lord encamps round about them that fear him and delivers them. You know, we pray before we travel. And when I say travel, I mean before I get on the road, before I drive down the street. And before I fly across the country or whatever. If I didn't fear the Lord, I wouldn't even pray. Do you hear this? People who don't even pray and don't even bother with it, that shows their lack of fear of the Lord. But fear of the Lord includes that you really believe He exists. And you really believe He has the power to change things, to protect you. And that His power is greater than anything else you might fear in this world. Come on, can you see what I'm talking about? The fear of the Lord delivers you from the fear of the accident. Or the fear of man, or the fear of the, you know, crime, or whatever the case might be. So that's why you would pray. Your sincere prayer and quoting the word and getting in faith reveals your fear of the Lord. Keep reading. Next verse. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Now see, can you see he's showing you another side of this? When people hear fear of the Lord, they may think shaking and just scared. He said, no, see how good the Lord is. Right? This all goes together. Blessed is the man that trusts in Him. So trusting in Him is part of the fear of the Lord. Next verse. Oh, what?
Fear
the Lord. You His saints. For there is what?
No want.
Say what?
No want.
Say what?
No want
to who?
Amen.
To who?
Amen.
Those who fear Him. Now we've already seen complete deliverance and protection.
Hallelujah.
Angelic assignment and protection to those that fear Him. Now we're seeing you don't want for anything. I mean, just those two is worth learning about the fear of the Lord and saying like we just prayed, Lord, teach me about this. Yes. There is no want. No want. That same word's translated lack in the same King James Bible. No lack to them that fear Him. So say it out loud. I fear the Lord. So I am kept and protected.
So I am kept and protected.
I fear the Lord.
I fear the Lord.
So I do not lack.
So I do not lack.
I do not want.
I do not want.
I didn't write that.
Right.
You didn't write that. Some denominational group didn't write this. I fear the Lord. Well, you need to know what you're saying when you say that. What does that mean? What does that incorporate? And don't be concerned about it. You know how we do? I may be on this for the next 20 Sundays. Do you think it'd be worthwhile?
Yes.
We need to find out what this is.
Yes.
And embrace it. And we just prayed a prayer. And the Lord heard that prayer. We know it's His will for us to develop in the fear of the Lord. And so He's already helping us. Keep reading. Back up to verse 9 again. What is the instruction? Oh, fear the Lord. Now, why is He telling you to do this? Because it doesn't happen automatically, and not everyone does it. Fear the Lord, you His saints. Just because you're a Christian doesn't mean you're developed in this, or that you have much of this. And we live in a society and a generation where a lot of this has been lost.
Yes.
And we, you know, the Bible said don't be conformed to this world. So we, regardless of which way the world's going, and like we said, there are numerous places now where there is no fear of the Lord there. And that's a bad thing for them. But that doesn't have to control us. And especially where we have influence and where we have control in our church,
amen,
there will be respect for the Lord.
Yes.
There will be reverence for the Lord.
Amen.
for His Word, for His Spirit, for His holy things. Oh, come on, are you with me? And in my house. Huh? My house? My car? My business? My thing? You understand? Where I have control. Where I have disease. You're not going to be able to stand there and blaspheme God. We will get you out. You understand what I'm saying? Now, I may not have control at your place, but at our place, we will honor the Lord. We will reverence Him. We will show Him the honor that is due His name. Well, in order for us to do that, we got to get a revelation of what is due Him. In order to show forth and reverence His greatness, we've got to get a revelation of how great He is. Oh, come on, can you see this? Before you could even fully begin to express it, you got to discover it. How many want to find out? That's not everybody. How many want to find out how big God is? How great He is? How wise? How awesome? Huh? How powerful? Now, we won't get all of that in this lifetime, but we could. How many would say, I'm further along than I used to be? Huh? Yeah. Well, you could come that much further again and again and again. And when you got a bunch of people who really reverence the Lord on a higher degree, it affects the whole environment around them. It affects, you can sense it when you drive in off the street. You can sense it in the parking lot. You can sense it in the lobby. It allows a greater manifestation of the Holy Spirit. It's directly connected to greater manifestation of the Holy Spirit. And I've already jumped ahead and got ahead of myself. But it was so good I couldn't wait. I was. Keep reading. Oh, fear the Lord, you His saints, for there is, don't you like this? No want to everybody? Now let's just stop right here. People say, well, doesn't God want everybody to have, you know, everything they need and abundant supply? He does. But does everybody respect God?
No.
Or respect His words?
No.
And this is a major problem. You got people that are just, they're just too casual and they're too disrespectful and they're too, they treat the things of God like they're no big deal, lightly, and they don't matter. And that's affecting their want. But to those that genuinely fear the Lord, you get to a place where you don't lack. We've operated for years now in the churches and ministries. We don't lack. We're not behind. We don't lack. We're not in need. We got to the place where we were years ago, caught up, and then the Lord showed us you need to go beyond that and get reserves. And so then now for years, that's how we've been operating. Now if you go way back decades ago, we were in lack. But we've grown in the fear of the Lord. And part of that is you take His things seriously. Are y'all with me? You take tithing seriously. You take offerings seriously. And that's what happened to us some 30 some years ago. We got a revelation about tithing and offerings, and we got serious about it. And we do what we say. Did you hear me? There's none of this shifting stuff around and robbing Peter to pay Paul stuff. See, that's a lack of fear of the Lord. That's acting like God doesn't really exist. And you can do anything you want to with his stuff. That shows no fear of the Lord. But we live every day like we know God sees us and knows everything. Come on, y'all with me?
Amen.
That we are thinking and doing and saying, and that we will give an account before him for how we handle all of his resources. God is real to us. And we're aware. Not that I'm in panic of him hurting me about it. I know he loves me. I know I'm his child. I know he cares about me. But I also know I'm not free to just abuse things and do something I should not do. We're still talking about the fear of the Lord. And to those who grow in this and become such who have a heart and live in a way that shows the fear of the Lord, you'll come to a place where you no longer lack.
Yes.
Say it out loud, there is no lack.
There is no lack.
To those that fear him.
To those that fear him.
Do you believe the Bible?
Yes.
Keep reading. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger. He's drawing a contrast because he just got through saying you wouldn't lack. And that would make people think, well, hey, I know a lot of smart, marked people that lack. I know a lot of hardworking people that lack. And so he goes to the next verse. He says, yeah, even the strongest of the strong can wind up lacking and suffering hunger. But they that seek the Lord. Now, that's some insight into the fear of the Lord. People who fear the Lord seek the Lord. If you believe God exists, you believe he has all the answers, then in all your ways, you're going to acknowledge him. You're going to seek him and go to him with things. And that's part of why you don't lack. Because you don't do dumb stuff.
Amen.
They that seek the Lord, again, he reiterates it, you shall not want any good thing. Now, this is beyond what a lot of church-going people believe. They wouldn't even believe this. They go, well, no, you go through highs, you go through lows, you know, everybody does. That's not scripture. That's your reasoning. That's not the word of God. Now, you can believe that instead of the word, and you can have that instead of the word of God. But I like this. Anybody with me, I like this. Protected, delivered, shall not want, shall not lack any good thing. Is the Bible true? Is it right? But again, this is not for everybody. This is for those who fear, reverence, respect, honor the Lord. Keep reading. Come, ye children, hearken to me, and I will what?
Teach.
I will teach you what?
The fear.
The fear. Do you see why I picked this passage to start with? I will do what?
Teach.
So the fear of the Lord is teachable. If it's teachable, it's learnable. So I'm believing God. You believe God with me. To teach the fear of the Lord. And I'm believing with you to learn. Is that right? To learn the fear of the Lord. The benefits are so many. They are many, many, many. And the protection we've already seen and the provision we've already seen. Go with me to Ecclesiastes, if you would. The last chapter. The 12th chapter. Well, how many feel good about this direction, this series? Does it seem good to you?
Yes.
Me too. Ecclesiastes. Now, you'll find a number of references to the fear of the Lord in the Psalms, in the Proverbs, and in Ecclesiastes. These are also called wisdom writings. And a lot of it came through Solomon and through David. And you remember Solomon, his request to the Lord when he became king is he wanted an understanding heart and wisdom to lead God's people. And the Bible said the prayer pleased the Lord. And the Lord brought out that a lot of people in his position had asked for riches or had asked for power and had asked for the life of their enemies. But what they didn't understand is what Solomon asked for was the key to all of it. And so he told him he was going to give him wisdom more than any before him or after him. And he gave him broad understanding. He gave him a heart, exactly what he asked for. He gave him a heart of understanding that he said was as broad as the seashore. You could look in both directions out of sight. That was the breadth of the understanding and wisdom that God gave him. And so you're wise to read his writings. Huh? In Proverbs and Ecclesiastes. Because this is not just something a man came up with. This was the understanding and knowledge and wisdom God put in his heart that God himself said had not been equaled before or since. The only exception would be Jesus. But if you'll notice, where I've got you now is the last chapter of the writings. And you'll find that the first chapter, we're going to look at it in a bit, the first chapter of Proverbs deals with the fear of the Lord. It actually says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning, both of understanding and knowledge and wisdom. Somebody say beginning. The beginning is where a thing starts. That's where it starts. Revelation of God doesn't begin with education. It doesn't begin with study. It doesn't, you are not at an advantage if you are considered to be of genius intellect. No one begins to know truth and understand God and the reality of eternity except you first show respect to God. If you are dismissive of God, if you are calling the Genesis account a myth, if you question God creating everything, if you question the virgin birth, if you question the Lord being raised from the dead, you will never understand real truth and God. You will not be able, no matter how much you study or how brilliant you might imagine yourself to be, the Bible is a closed book to you. And the things of God are shut off to you. Because you don't deserve them. Did y'all hear me?
Yes.
Tell me what the beginning, the start of understanding anything of reality, it's the fear, the reverence, the respect, and don't you dare waddle in and try to tell God how smart you are. Are you trying to make him laugh? You start by showing respect. On your knees is a good place to start. Come on, y'all with me. Humbling your heart and acknowledging. Have you noticed the way the Lord taught us to pray, what we call the Lord's Prayer? How does it start off? My Father, our Father, which is in heaven. Heaven is real. And it's glorious. My Father, Aren't you glad you can call him Father? My Father, which art in heaven, what? What? See, that right there is the fear of the Lord. Hallowed. Hallowed. Holy. To be revered. To be respected. To be honored is your name. That's why it's so grievous to use the Lord's name in vain. Huh? Cussing. And using, see, somebody that would use God and damning and say it with vehemence, this is a person who has no fear of God. It's questionable, are they even a believer? Now, maybe they just got mad and acted stupid, I understand that, but there's no excuse for using the Lord's name in vain if you're a believer. Huh? You're treating His name like it's nothing. Using the term Jesus Christ as an exclamation. Wrong. Even saying, oh my God, if you're not talking to Him, or you're not talking about Him in a respectful way, stop it. It's disrespectful. Amen. It shows a serious lack of the fear of God. Isn't that one of the commandments? Yes, you shall not take or use the name of the Lord your God in vain, for no reason, for no purpose. Right. When you don't want to say it in a stodgy theological way either. Oh God, do you even know what you're talking about? He's your Father. He's on the throne of all power. The angels of glory are round about Him. He is upholding the entire universe with all of its stars and solar systems by the word of His power. He should be respected. He should be, His power, His glory should be appreciated. We have the opportunity to show it by faith. There's coming a day. There's coming a day where the elements of creation will be shaken to their core, and the only thing that will be left are the eternal things that God said should be remained. And I'm telling you, when that begins to happen, there won't be one unbeliever anywhere in the universe. The Bible said the ungodly are going to run to the mountains and cry for the rocks to fall on us and hide us from His face. But that's too late. We get the opportunity, we get the privilege to do it now. By faith, when nobody's forcing us, nobody's making us, but we believe God enough to show Him respect now, here, in this dark, sin-filled place. Somebody say, I choose the fear of the Lord.
The fear of the Lord.
Hallelujah. Now notice in Ecclesiastes 12. I don't know if you've read it or not, but like I said, there are numerous scores, if you put them all together, of references to the fear of the Lord, the fear of God, in the book of Psalms, in the Proverbs, in Ecclesiastes, what we call the wisdom writings. And here, the Spirit of God sums it all up. And the 12th chapter, and the 11th, well, let's see, the 10th verse. The preacher, he called himself that, sought to find out acceptable words. That which was written was upright, and words of truth. This is the writings of Solomon that he got from God, from his wisdom that God gave him. The words of the wise are as goads and as nails fastened by the masters of assemblies, which are given from one shepherd. He's saying, have you noticed the Proverbs are in bite-sized segments. It's a phrase and a phrase. And then it's another phrase or a phrase. And he's saying these are like, today we'd call them studs. Steel reinforced stud or attachment point. He called it a nail. What does that mean? These things you can build your life on. You can attach life to them because they won't change. They won't pull out. They won't break. They're eternal truth. Can you see it? And then he says, verse 12, further by these, my son, be admonished of making many books. There is no end. And much study is a weariness of the flesh. There's no end. Boy, you can sure say that today in the information age, right? There's no end to Google searches. Huh? And books that are written on every subject imaginable. There's no end to what you could study. But like we already mentioned, tell me what's the beginning of knowledge and of understanding. Not study. Not education. Not school. See, when you talk about, well, I got a degree. Okay. We don't know if that's good or bad. Huh? What classes did you go to? What were you taught? Was there any fear of God in that class or in that textbook? Well, it didn't matter because I was doing engineering. It does matter. Because if there's any truth about engineering, it came from God. Hmm? And people who reject God are going to get off. They're going to get off into stuff that doesn't work. And the sad thing is sometimes people, it takes them years to find out it didn't work. But somebody that respects God, God will help them. Hallelujah. God will help them. For whatever reason, I just thought of a man who portrayed this in my junior high days. Mr. Timms. Back when I went to school in the Deep South, we were in the middle of the busing thing and of the civil rights unrest and that kind of thing. And so they forced different groups to go to other schools to mix light skin, dark skin. Now, if you have heard what we teach on this, I don't believe in the difference of the races. But I'm just telling you what happened. Well, in our ag class, we got a man who was dark-skinned. He was a new teacher to our group in our area. And, of course, anytime you get all of that, you got junk going on from every side and every area. And okay. But this man, Mr. Timms, here I am decades later talking about him. He portrayed the fear of the Lord with us boys. And man, he was soft-spoken, a nice man. But you better not ignore him. And he didn't want us wearing our shirt tails outside because we worked in the shop sometimes around machinery. And he'd walk into the class and everybody liked him, but he would stop and say, "I see a shirt. I see a shirt. I see." Everybody went, "Oh no, oh no." Somebody's shirt tail is out. And he would take you outside and paddle you. And he's right. But we would pray before every class and we would pledge allegiance to the flag. Come on out with me. And he showed the fear of the Lord. And in a situation, looking back, I didn't realize at the time, I'm just a kid, but looking back now, I know some of it was uncomfortable for him. The way, you know, situations were. And who knows what somebody said, you know. But he didn't let it sour him. He didn't let it affect him negatively. And he took us boys, we started a parliamentary procedure team with the FFA. And I wound up being president of that. And we competed all over the state and won first place. And when I was, Kansas City, Missouri is where we had to go for one thing. And we all went on the bus, and I didn't have enough money to do some of the things and to have a meal. And he saw it and on the side pulled me aside and handed me some cash out of his pocket. Yeah. Kind of man he is. And we did good in that area, and in other areas we competed on forester teams, and we just had a great time. And the fear, I didn't realize at the time, but it was the fear of the Lord that was in him, and that he without preaching a bunch. Do y'all hear what I'm saying? Just heralding what is right and showing honor and showing respect and not letting the ugliness of the times sour you and cause you to be hard and harsh and judgmental. And actually, this would have been, 15, 20 years ago. The Lord was teaching me about respect and honor. And he brought him up to me and said, go find him and give him your best wristwatch. I said, yes, sir, I'd be glad to. I didn't know if he was alive still or not. Well, I found him. He was alive and retired on his little cattle place. And I called him. I said, sir, may I come visit you? Oh, yes, Keith, yes. He remembered me. Come on over, boy. So I came and we sat down and we talked about the times, and I thanked him for being a godly example. And I had worn that watch, you know, and I pulled it off. I asked him, I said, sir, would you receive this from me? And he said, whew, wow. I said, please, sir. He said, yes, I will. So I put it on his wrist. Why did I bring that up? His honor planted a seed of honor that years later came back in a harvest. Come, can you see that? A harvest of honor. It superseded age gap, color difference, culture. Come on, y'all, said culture. It superseded everything, and the fear of the Lord was the core of it all. Can you see this, church? I didn't intend on telling that at all. But I believe the Lord brought it up to me. Of endless study is not the answer. It's not. You can study the scriptures in all of its original languages until you faint and fall out of your chair and get nothing. I said, get nothing. Unless you first show respect to the one who made you. Show honor and respect to him. And if your heart is right, his spirit reaches inside you and turns on the light. And lets you see his precious things. Don't you remember he said, don't give that which is holy to the dogs. Don't cast your pearls before swine. What does that mean? Don't give precious things to those who have no appreciation for them. Don't do it. You're foolish if you do. Well, would God tell you to do that and he doesn't know not to do it? No. He gives his precious things to those who value them, who treasure them. And that's part of the fear of the Lord. Notice the next verse. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. And our time's up. And I only got to point one. But can you, this is our text. These two verses, Psalms, and this is our text for the series. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. What whole matter? Everything he's been talking about since Proverbs 1. Are y'all with me?
Yes.
Everything God had shown him about knowledge of holy things, about understanding, about the wisdom of God, he's giving you the sum, the conclusion of the whole thing. What is it? What's the conclusion of the whole matter? What?
Fear God.
Fear God. And keep his commandments. Or in other words, do what he tells you. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Is that true? Is that true? When people say, well, the people try to act wise that don't fear God, and they go, well, what's the purpose of human beings? What's the purpose of it all? What's the meaning of it all? You can have 1,200 degrees. I'm talking about educational degrees. And be stupid. You can. You can. What's the meaning of it all? And what people like to imply is it's unknowable. It's a mystery not available to mortal man. No, just you're clueless. But it was declared, made clear and plain long ago to those that'll have an ear to hear it or an eye to see it. What's the purpose of mankind? Huh? This is the whole thing. Listen to the Amplified. Amplified 12:13. All has been heard. The end of the matter is, drum roll. This is it. What? Fear God. Look at your neighbor. Help them out. Say, fear God. Look the other direction. Say, fear God. Fear God. What do? Every day, every night, every place. Fear God. The Amplified says, revere and worship him. Keep his commandments. For this is the whole of man. The full original purpose of his creation, the object of God's providence, the root of character, the foundation of all happiness, the adjustment to all inharmonious circumstances and conditions under the sun, the whole duty for every man is what?
Fear
God and do what he tells you to do. Stand on your feet. Hallelujah. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God. Praise be to God.